Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. SDI is a member-supported global contemplative movement that contributes to peace, justice, and living in right relationship with all creation. Your membership supports this podcast, publications, educational programming, outreach, and more. Together, we're changing the world through the contemplative action of spiritual direction. Everyone is welcome to become a member at SDI. You do not need to be a spiritual director to join. Benefits include subscriptions to our Presence magazine, Listen and Connections, our Discover newsletter, discounts on educational events, and more. Become a new member or renew your membership on SDI's secure online store, secure.sdiworld.org. This week's episode features an in-house podcast conversation that I did with our executive director, Reverend Sefu Anil Singh Malaris, about a quarterly publication that we produce here at SDI called Listen. Listen is described as a seeker's resource for spiritual direction. It features art and illustration done by me and a written reflection by Reverend Sefu. For our April issue of Listen, Reverend Sefu titled his reflection, Remember Yourself, which reflects on how we consider the spiritual journey to sometimes be about striving towards new insight and discovery, but might actually be about striving towards remembering or recalling. So our in-house pod this week is a conversation that Reverend Sefu and I had about this article, where he was able to go into a little more detail about this idea and how it might apply to our own spiritual journeys.
So we just put out Listen, which is a quarterly publication that is digital, accessed through our website, and is available to anybody, not just members, but also seekers. And it's we craft it as our seeker publication, right? It's not super academic. It's not scholarly. We offer a reflection that you write. I make some art for it. We have some poetry, and that's pretty much it, right? It's just kind of a spiritual nourishment. Mm-hmm. It's food for the soul. Yeah. So I think it's an important thing that we do, an important thing that we offer in terms of SDI's, I guess I would call it ministry. I don't know what you would call it, but just the work that we do. So maybe talk a little bit about, let's talk about this issue, the April one. And you wrote a reflection on remembering yourself or recalling yourself. Mm-hmm. Can you reflect on that theme and where you are leading the reader, where you are leading us with that?
Yeah. So yes, I agree with all the things you said about Listen. It's a meant to be an easily digestible morsel for people who are interested in spiritual direction and companionship, but also for the rest of us who are already trained spiritual directors and companions to nourish, as you were saying, to nourish and feed us. I got quite a bit of feedback, more than usual, on this last issue, because the notion of remembering yourself resonates. It's something that we all remember, right? It's not just me remembering myself when I read. It's that notion of, as I said in the article, it could be described as discovery, but it's more, those moments in life where we see something and we go, oh, Yeah, I mean, that he or she describes something that I've always felt in a way that I was never able to put it into words quite that way. Right? That's the perfect description of how I've always felt. And so when you see it written, or we see it in a piece of art, or we hear it in some music that moves us deeply, it's I call it recognition. I call it remembering. It's like that is already inside of us. It's always been inside of us. And suddenly the door has been opened to that memory, right? It's like you know, we all carry a lifetime's worth of memories, and most of us don't remember when we were two, or our first discernible memory started 2 or 3 years old. And it's usually a fragment, an image, or a feeling, or a sense of something. And in the same way that we can cultivate our remembrance of that, you can actually open up these pathways in your brain that allow you to access those deeply embedded memories of our own personal life in this lifetime. We can access, and I'm not talking about reincarnation in the Buddhist or Hindu senses, we can access DNA memories. We can access genetic memories that are embedded in all of our cells, right? And there's studies that show that DNA now carries genetic memory, not just general memory of survival of the species, but specific memories that our ancestors have transmitted through their DNA to us. And that can sometimes transmit from one generation to the next. It's very interesting when you see it as a father yourself, you know, something in your child, and maybe you don't. I mean, I'm lucky I have six children.
Oh, I totally do.
And I see it in one of my children much more than the other five, where I go, why? Oh, that's just like me. That's me. Right? I mean, that's my experience that he has inside of him, because it's embedded in him. So I think the recognition of our essential nature is deeply embedded in all of us. And now I'm talking about not just ancestral memories, but the connection with God or with the universe is probably the most deeply embedded imprint on our being, on the essence of our being. And so I call it remembering. And I think that's really what spiritual companions and spiritual directors do, is, you know, we hold up mirrors to the people who come and see us so that they can recognize themselves, so that they can remember their true selves, not the illusions that we craft or the social masks that we wear, but who are we really? Mm-hmm. Right? In Zen, we all always have these two questions. They follow, one follows the other. Who are we, and who's asking? Who's asking the question? Because, you know, deeper than just our individual egos, there is a collective. There's God. It's more than a collective. It's you know, in Christian theology, we'd say he or she who knows all and is all and will be all, right? Who transcends time and space and contains all. In other frameworks, there it is, bam! Finally remembered. Finally remembered what I've all known all along. So I think that's the purpose of that. That was the essence of that article. And I think that's why this particular issue is resonating. And that's our goal at SDI with Listen in particular, is to give our readers, seekers, spiritual adventurers, discoverers, whatever, however we should be describe them, a touch of the infinite. A friend of mine, Genjo Marinello Roshi, talks about the infinite intimate. And so Listen, actually all of our publications, but Listen particularly, is an invitation to commune intimately with the infinite.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that you said that spark questions in me. The idea that we have ancestral wisdom and being embedded in us genetically, even. Yeah. We, you know, and we can see that. Like, we look like our parents in some ways, and we act like our parents.
Probably in more ways than we'd like to admit.
Right. And we get into these arguments about, you know, the nature versus nurture. Like, yeah. is that just part of who we are? Or is it something that we've learned? Like, do we learn behaviors from them? I mean, we don't learn how we look, right? So it's hard to argue. But it does, I think. You know, I start leaning on Christian language of Imago Dei, that's not an abstract idea, that, you know, what you were saying, like, that spark of God is literally in us, and science can actually prove that to be true, prove that to be real. Yeah. I had an experience last night, similar to the one that you're describing about recalling, and how you wrote about being in the Basilica at 3 years old.
Six
years old. You know, I was home, my family's been out of town, and I was working on some stuff, and this song came on, Claude Debussy, Debussy, Reverie. Do you know that one?
Yes, of course, beautiful song.
And it took me back to my grandfather playing that on his piano in the log cabin where they retired to in the Cascades, and being, you know, 8 years old, 9 years old, and sleeping up in the loft. And, you know, you're going to bed, it's dark out, and that was when my grandpa would go to the piano and play. He didn't like to play for an audience. Mm-hmm. He didn't like to perform. Yeah. So everyone had to kind of go to bed before he would play. Mm-hmm. And he would play Debussy songs.
Nice.
And it was just sort of magical. And it took me back to that. And I just, last night hearing that, just kind of melted in that moment.
Yeah.
It's like, this is some of the most beautiful music that I can recall. And I also recall just the sort of innocence and purity of that moment. But then my grown-up voice, right, the inner critic comes in and says, well, you're just having sort of nostalgia feelings. You can't trust that. How can we trust those experiences to be divine or to be presence?
Well, thank you for that reflection. It's very evocative, and it's moving even as you describe it. I think you just explained why there's the innocence of youth, the I'm sure beauty of being up in that log cabin in the loft, in the warmth of your grandparents' home, you know, so there's family, there's connection, there's a sense of safety, of comfort, of community and beauty, right? And those Debussy melodies are just transcendently beautiful, right? Hauntingly beautiful melodies. And why mistrust that? That's, you know, even as you were speaking it, I could feel it. I could feel the power of your memory. And what is it that leads us, maybe it's that inner critic that you were just describing, to not trust that sense of belonging and that sense of longing and belonging, right? A belonging to our family, to the world, to this music that you're hearing, to your innocence, and longing for communion with the infinite that it invites. It's like a door that's open. So why close the door, right? We open the door and then immediately our intellect rushes in and goes, close that door. I don't like that draft. The intellect says, I don't like the draft that it's causing. It's making me uncomfortable. Mm. Our intellect is saying it's making me uncomfortable. And so I think what the opportunity is, more than a challenge, the opportunity is to say, shh, you know, shh, to that inner critic. Shh, let me, I'm enjoying the breeze coming in, the infinite breeze blowing through that door. Let me enjoy it. And so, and I think that's what a good spiritual companion, a spiritual director would say, is just what I'm saying to you, which is, shh, you know, you just opened a powerful door was open to you when that music came on. Just leave it open and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think part of it is, it's that intimate infinite that you described, that Genjo speaks to.
Yeah.
I think I can be in the intimate. I think we can be in the intimate, generally speaking.
We are right now.
Yeah. But the infinite, maybe we're afraid of that.
I think that's exactly the word. The infinite is scary because the infinite basically says we dissolve into seemingly nothing, right? We are not this body, this mind, this voice that's speaking is no longer. And actually, not even is no longer. It never really was or is, right? We're just voices of the infinite. And the infinite is scary because it means the dissolution of our ego, the dissolution of our personhood, the dissolution of everything that we consider permanent and tangible. And we've been socialized to think that what is tangible and permanent is good, and what is intangible and impermanent, i.e. God, right, is scary. It's scary because you're not in control. Of course, the truth of it is we're never in control.
Yeah.
But I think you put your finger on it. It's fear. The infinite is scary.
So,
and actually, just to follow up on that, the intimate infinite thing that Genjo talks about is basically developing familiarity with the infinite, and not just familiarity at a remove, but making it our best friend, becoming so comfortable with that sense of dissolution, or that sense, which actually the flip side of it, you know, if you look at it in a binary way, is that sense of communion with all time and across all time and space, with everything that has been and will be and is. That is the true spiritual journey, is becoming one with everything, becoming one with that fear, becoming one with that scary infinite.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you sort of have to hold both joy and sadness in that. I mean, that's what I am even experiencing right now. Like, that's what I'm feeling, describing that to you and talking about this. It's a sense that, like, this is a moment of beauty, but it's also transient. Like, I'm participating in something that I can sense is eternal, but my sensing of it is contingent to this moment.
Yeah, no, that's very well said. I think your intuitions are right on. I mean, I think embedded in that sense is the acceptance and the resignation that, you know, your grandfather is gone, that you're probably, I mean, I don't know. Maybe
he's going to have his 93rd birthday.
Oh, wow, wonderful.
But he doesn't play for us anymore.
Okay, well, that we are all going to be gone. Mm-hmm. That the loves of our life are going to be gone. That our children are going to be gone, right? I mean, contemplating the death of, you know, God forbid, of one of our children is probably the worst thing that can happen, not just to a parent, but to a human being. And in your comment is that acceptance, that everything that we love and hold dear is impermanent. None of it will last. And so we're human beings. We cry, right? We feel the sense of loss. We feel the sense of disconnection. We feel depressions. Along with our longing for God, there is an ethereal, you know, realization that nothing lasts. And that makes us sad. That makes us sad because we're attached. We're beings that attach and commune, right? That's how we create other beings, is that deep sense of, not just sense, but that that intimate connection, which is transient and impermanent. And so I think, you know, we're human. And so encompassing both the realization that everything we've ever held dear is will not last is part of the sighing of what it means to be a human being, part of the deep sigh and sometimes sorrow and tragedy of being a human being. And at the same time, that portal is the portal to, you know, in Christianity, we talk about life everlasting, right? Of a connection with God that transcends all of that suffering and tragedy sometimes. So, I'm not sure how we're talking about all of this stuff now, but it's two types of intimacy. And they're related. It's the intimacy that we feel with one another, which is sometimes fleeting, and yet is a mirror of the intimacy with the infinite, which is everlasting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's just what the core of your article yep. that you wrote about.
Yep.
So the recalling yourself is to recall all of that, what you just described,
yeah.
the intimate and the infinite, the present and the ethereal, the joy and the sadness, right? I think that there is embedded in that a practice of faith.
Yeah, oh, you are on fire today.
Yes. I get to read the article multiple yeah. times and yeah. these things sink in and...
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think that is, and I've been thinking a lot about this lately, that the power of faith, you know, and however it manifests, whatever vehicle you use, whether it's Jesus Christ or Buddha or walking through nature, or, you know, all the various portals that people use to access that intimate infinite, it's at the end of the day, it's despite my losses, despite my sorrows, despite my tragedies and my broken heart and my longings, I have faith that this intimate infinite is my, you know, and I hate to use the word redemption because it's so laden theologically, but it's my... is my vehicle to commune with the infinite. And at some point, you know, and because I'm trained in Christian theology, those constructs always pop in my head, that's the leap of faith beyond our intellect, right? The moment where we drop our intellectual pretensions and go, I don't understand this, but I believe in it. I don't understand, I can't explain it, but it moves me so deeply that it must be true, that it must be the divine, it must be the universe speaking to me directly.
Yeah.
Right, so I agree. I mean, all of this leads to the leap, we call it a leap of faith, and it's actually not a leap, it's just, you know, close your eyes and open your eyes, and there it is.
Right? Just embracing what is.
Just embracing what is already here all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen is a free quarterly digital publication produced by Spiritual Directors International, and it's made for you. You'll find our current issue, as well as an archive of previous issues, posted to our website, sdiworld.org, and there you can also subscribe to receive future issues. Actually, I was going through the Listen archives the other day, and I found out that SDI, several years ago, used to do an advice column in which someone would write in a question, and they would receive a response from a certain type of animal. Can you name that animal? The first person to email the correct answer to me at podcast@sdiworld.org will receive a free registration to one of our popular webinar courses of your choice. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.